Amen. Finishes. Mm.
So a passage about remembrance, which obviously is very much to do with communion and when we share communion, although we won't be sharing communion this morning, but nevertheless a passage about remembrance. Again, apologies for the small writing. It's not normally like that, and we will get it sorted. So it's Remembrance Sunday, and we do know what that is all about. Those who died in the cause of freedom. So freedom is an important thing, isn't it? Freedom is an important thing to human beings. Freedom is a very important theme in the scriptures as well. I find it strange sometimes when people say the Bible supports slavery. Well, there are some verses that, if you're that way inclined, could be taken that way. But the overarching theme is actually bringing people into freedom. Because it seems that God values freedom as well. Think, for example, of the very beginning of the formation of the nation of Israel. They were slaves in Egypt. And God delivered them, brought them into a land they could call their own. No, the Bible has a lot to say about freedom. Now, on Remembrance Day, we say, at the going down of the sun, as we've just said, and in the morning, we will remember them. So these are lines from a poem by Lawrence Binyon called For the Fallen. And they capture an important truth about remembering. Because it says, we will remember them. Remembering is a choice. Well, we might say perhaps not always, because we're weak and frail, and the older we get, the more likely we are to forget things. But nevertheless, all things being equal, it's most often true that we actually do remember those things that are important to us. But it's not just an individual thing as well. Memory can be a collective thing. And the things that we remember from the past are the things that we believe to be really, really important, because we believe that they shape our present in a positive way. We remember things that are important to us. The first line of Binyon's poem goes, with proud thanksgiving, a mother for her children, England mourns for her dead across the sea. Flesh of her flesh they were, spirit of her spirit, fallen in the cause of the free. It's a poem about freedom, which is why today we remember with thanksgiving. And a kind of ceremony, which is what we've had today, is often a very good way to remember these things that we believe to be important. We're good at remembering those things that are important to us. And at the same time, we are also rather good at forgetting those things that we believe to be of little importance or of no relevance to our lives. Now, as I've already alluded to, forgetfulness can be a rather frustrating aspect of our weak human nature. Sometimes it's also true that actually forgetting can be a strength. And sometimes we also have to decide to forget as well as deciding to remember. So, for example, the Apostle Paul, in the book of Philippians, he said, "This one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead." We can't undo the past. We can't undo those things that we wish we had never done. And we can have a good past as well, but we do need to live for the day and to let go of our past, and as the Apostle Paul says here, to press on, and as Christians, to press on in the calling for which Jesus has called us. At the same time, it's generally true in the Bible that forgetting is portrayed as a failure, a spiritual failure, especially when it involves forgetting God. In fact, forgetting God is constantly warned against throughout the scriptures. It's linked to disobedience, to idolatry, and also to judgment. So, for example, in Deuteronomy, it says, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." We see in that verse the theme of freedom as well. So it's important to God. Or in Psalm 9, verse 17, "The wicked go down to the realm of the dead, all the nations that forget God." Makes us wonder where we're at spiritually in our nation today. Or in Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom, 3 verse 1, very personal, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart." Now, like most children, and I'm sure like you, when you were children, you were taught about World War II and probably one, in various ways when you were at school. Curiously, when I was at school, there were parts of the history that I was not taught. For example, I wasn't taught that during the war, King George VI called the nation to prayer at least 7 times. Curious that. I wasn't taught that these days of prayer were followed by remarkable events that changed the direction of the war. The most famous being the call to prayer on the 26th of May 1940 during the Dunkirk crisis. Churches across the nation were packed. People were queuing, long queues outside the churches. Later, Churchill described Dunkirk as a miracle of deliverance. See, our memories can be very selective. As sinful human beings, we are very prone to forget God. We're very prone to go our own way. "We all like sheep have gone astray," said Isaiah. "Each one of us has turned to his own way." There are many, many exhortations in the Bible to remember and not to forget. About various things, we're to remember the poor. We're to remember, says the writer of the book of Hebrews, those who are in prison. We are to remember, as Christians, those who are persecuted. We're told to remember one another, and to remember to pray for one another. As the Apostle Paul said, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." We're to remember our leaders, our national leaders, and we are to pray for them, of whatever political persuasion we might be. But again and again and again, the scriptures exhort us, and they call us not to forget the one of whom we so easily forget. the one who is the source of all life, and who indeed gave his life for us, the Lord himself. Psalm 106, verse 7 says, in a tone of lament, but they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his counsel. I think in this nation, we have forgotten what God has done. And Jeremiah, we hear God pleading through the words of Jeremiah to the people he loves. Does a young woman forget her jewelry, or a bride her wedding ornaments? Of course, that's a rhetorical question, and the answer, of course, is no. Yet, my people have forgotten me, days without number. And we come to the New Testament, and Paul says to young Timothy these words, which is to pass on to the churches of which he had responsibility. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, and this is my gospel. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember the God who became man. Remember the one who laid down his life for us, for our sins, who was raised from the dead, and who is returning again in power and in great glory. Remember him every day of your life. And in fact, if we value him, if we think he is important, if we love him, it won't be so hard to remember him. And this is Jesus who said, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. I do consider it the great tragedy in this country that we have forgotten, and deliberately so, and turned to other gods. We want the freedom, but we don't want the one who gives the freedom as a gift. And therefore, we are in great danger of losing that freedom. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a great evangelical preacher, said, the business of truth is to set us free from sin. Jesus came to set us free from our sin. And this, whatever our circumstances may be, is true freedom. And conversely, sin leads us into bondage, into a spiritual bondage, into a spiritual slavery, and ultimately perhaps into a physical slavery as well. And this is why we so much need again the gospel in this nation. At the Last Supper, which was a Jewish Passover meal, remembering the events of the Exodus when God set his people free, Jesus embodied this truth. Jesus once more came to bring a deliverance, but a greater deliverance than happened previously from Egypt. A spiritual deliverance. A deliverance from the power of sin and of evil. And it says in Luke 22, verse 19, he took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. He said, this is my body given for you. Broken for you, my life laid down for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. The Apostle Paul said in these very familiar words. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." See, communion is a very tactile and physical and therefore helpful way for us physical beings to remember. In that sense, a remembrance service is a bit like that. But in communion, we remember the work of God, the work of Christ, what he did for us through the cross and his resurrection. The cross was the great divine exchange. The cross was God's great rescue mission. The cross was the revelation of the full extent of his love that changes everything. Peter said, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by his wounds you have been healed." Jesus took upon himself the full weight of our guilt and shame in order that we might be forgiven and go free. It is most certainly true, greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. These words were spoken by Jesus, but most of all, they speak of Jesus, who then added, "You are my friends if you do what I command." God's promise from the beginning of the Bible was to send a Saviour, a Redeemer, a Deliverer. There was a promise repeated many, many times throughout the Old Testament. In sending Jesus, God remembered. God remembered his promise. And he remembered his promise for a reason, that he might forget our sins. See, Jeremiah spoke of something new. Technically, it's called a new covenant. We can think of it as a new relationship with God. New life. Jesus called it eternal life. No longer will they teach their neighbor, saying to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. God's forgetfulness, deliberately choosing to forget when we come to him humbly, confessing our sins, giving our lives to him, asking, committing ourselves to him. You see, we belong to him. We are, if you like, his people. Not because we remember him perfectly, but because he remembers us faithfully. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. We remember Christ because he first remembered us. And it is in this remembrance that we find hope. until he comes. This is what I would suggest is the one thing we must not forget. Amen.